This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And now, here's Joe Smith.
Well, the football Hoosiers of Kevin Wilson, after its gutsy effort Saturday before a sellout crowd at The Rock against top-ranked Ohio State, off they go to Penn State Saturday, but homecoming in a couple of weeks, football reunions planned for Rutgers on Saturday the 17th, including a salute to the 1945 unbeaten Big Ten champions. The Mallory men will be coming to town in November for the Michigan game as Coach Bill turns 80. Assistant AD for Alumni Relations, Hoosier football historian, good friend Mark Deal settles in for a little conversation tonight. We'll set the scene, tell some stories, and, well, get ready to win our first ever game at Beaver Stadium with a Mark a little bit later tonight. As well as veteran IU men's and women's cross-country coach Ron Helmer joins us. The Hoosier men ranked 19th nationally, went east and came home with the trophy, winning the Princeton Inter-Regional. And we'll chart the progress and talk to a young man that's having quite a fall, a redshirt sophomore, Kyle Duvall from Westfield. So we have a little cross-country for you as the Hoosier men and the women get ready later this fall for the Big Ten Championships, moving forward in this month of October and gathering tonight for Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's, along with our producer Jim Ritter, high atop our One City Center studios downtown. On-site producers Joanna and Mike Glasscott and all of our sponsors. Hi again, everyone, and welcome to Yogi's for a little sports conversation. Always great on this 80-degree, sunshiny October Tuesday to bring in our good friend Mark Deal. And as I mentioned, Mark, in his second year now as assistant AD for Alumni Relations, but you all know him, and he lives, breathes, and dies and lives some more for Indiana football. And you know, we go back to Saturday. First of all, hey, thanks, buddy, for coming in. And we got a lot to go that's going to go on here over the month of October and November. But I know we're not after moral victories, but doggone it, they set the tone, the defense early on. And to play Ohio State the way we did, it's got to be a positive sign as we move the process forward the rest of this year, Mark.
Absolutely. First of all, where was this weather Saturday?
Oh,
instead of the cold rain.
You're in Bloomington. You've lived in Bloomington for decades.
That said, it was a great crowd, and they were there, and they were loud, and a big shout-out to our fans and our students, our alumni, our fans. They were fantastic. It was the best crowd I've seen there since the Michigan game in 2010. I don't think there's any question. They were loud. They were into it the entire game. They stayed, and it was great. And I think we gave them their money's worth, no question about it. Our kids played extremely hard, and we've played pretty hard all year. But they played really hard, and for the most part, really, really well against the number one team in the nation. And we played clean, too, which was really nice. Knock on wood, we've had two turnovers in five games. That's the reason we're 4-1. I keep pumping that statistic to Coach Wilson all the time that, we're, leading the Big Ten turnover margin, and that's a huge reason why we're 4-1 and doing well right now. It's the turnover margin.
Well, in any question, we're a +9 and 58 points as a result of that, and, a couple of them have been returned by the defense for touchdowns as we get ready for Penn State. But, you look at the total process, and again, I talk about the start of the game with the early stops and holding to Ohio State 14 yards in the first half and taking the lead in at halftime. These are little baby steps towards the improvement that we've made, Mark, in the first five games leading into the last week.
I go to practice every day. I'm at every practice. I see us work out from Sunday night. We're off Monday, and we practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We had them down. Everything they ran, that first three plays, we had seen in practice, and we had practiced them all week, and we'd stopped them all week. So I think it just kind of gave our kids confidence that, Ohio State didn't throw any new wrinkles in. They were going to run their stuff and do what they did, and our guys were ready for it, and they stopped it, and they just kind of said, yeah, we're ready. We can get it done, and it just grew from there. And it was, it was just a tremendous effort there early in the game that kind of set the tempo. Then our offense took over and was able to, get 10 points there early in the end of the first quarter and the beginning of the second quarter. And it was just a great, great job. Great job by our guys holding them to field goals, getting the turnovers down, down deep. I think they completed the one pass to, I think it was to Marshall, and then we stripped him and recovered the ball on the 10. The fake punt that went awry, and they got first and goal on the 10, and we hold them to field goal. I mean, they came off, and it was just pumping our defense up. What a great stop that was, And then they missed a field goal at the end of the half. Well, just a tremendous, tremendous effort by our guys.
And I think late in the ball game, Urban Meyer, as great a coach as he is, a little bit conservative with his offense. He wanted his defense to take away any Indiana threat, which was heartening to see. And, Xander Diamant and a few others. I mean, we can list probably about six guys that came off the bench, and it really speaks volumes of how much the overall depth of this football club has improved. And, by golly, it went down to the final play of the ball game with the incompletion there.
No question. And you look at the guys who came in, and I go back to Devine Redding, go back to the Missouri game a year ago. As a true freshman at Missouri, ranked opponent, 80, 85 degrees it was there at Faroe Field in Columbia. Tevin Coleman had some, heat issues and had to get, had to get some IVs, had to go in. We had D'Angelo, who plays on every special team and every offensive team. He needed a blow. Devine came in, ran us right down the field for that one drive there in the second quarter where we got a touchdown. And right then I knew Devine Redding, he's a big-time back. So when he came in and got those two touchdowns when Jordan went down, it didn't surprise me the job that Devine did. And Xander has been improving all year from last year. I think those last six games gave him confidence. The job that Kevin Johnson, Kevin Wilson did with that kid from week six when he was forced to start until week 12 when he did against Purdue was amazing. And the fact that Xander played against Ohio State a year ago and played very well in Columbus, he busted a long one in Columbus last year.
Oh, yeah,
Xander wasn't a,
wasn't intimidated.
He wasn't intimidated. He knows the offense now, and he understood what he had to do. I think he did a terrific job out there, and he's got the guts of a burglar. I mean, he has no fear whatsoever, and that's just what you want from your quarterback. And he's fast. I go to alumni, talk to alumni all summer, and they ask for preview, what do they think, and they say, how's Xander doing? How is Nate doing? Those kind of things. Yeah. And I tell them, Xander's one of the fastest guys on our team. I saw Xander make that exact run in a spring scrimmage and ran away from Rashard Fant, just like he ran away from the Buckeyes and score a touchdown in a scrimmage. And, I think Ohio State was shocked. This is the third time in the last 4 years that I think they've been really shocked. In 12, we hit Shane on a little slant route, and he took it about 80 yards for a touchdown where he ran away from them. Last year, Tevin busted that 90-yard run where he ran away from
Had the lead late in the third.
Right, and this year, Xander busted the 79-yard run for a touchdown and ran away from him. I think that speaks to the type of kids we're recruiting, the type of speed we're recruiting.
Right.
I was talking with Jim Butler today, our friend, in the athletic department, and I said to Jim about the speed. I said, I remember when Coach Hepp came in, and Coach Hepp's first year, I remember him saying to me, he said, you probably remember his saying, if you can run, you can play. Remember he would say that, if you can run, you can play. And Hepp said that a million times. Well, Xander can run and he can play.
Well, he can, and the Hoosiers will run out to Penn State to try to nail down its first ever win at Beaver Stadium. And you get a sense, Mark, and you're around the guys a lot, that there won't be any sense of, not being ready or not wanting this one because, granted, Ohio State, it's come and gone now. 7 weeks of football left, and, I think that will bode well somewhere down the line where we have them out of the way. We played well, but now we have to bottle what we did well and use that in the 7 weeks because, doggone it, we're seeing so much parity around the Big Ten. Why not us? Why can't we be a contender in the East?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, the game wasn't over, 5 minutes in a locker room. And Coach Wilson, challenged the guys right then and said, hey, let's go to Penn State and do something no Indiana team's ever done. Now, we beat them here 2 years ago.
Should have beat them last year.
And we lost a very tight game last year, and they deserved to win. They played better than we did last year, but we had beaten them 2 years ago. So our guys know what it takes to play with Penn State, but we've never won in State College. So they know the challenge ahead, and I think they're excited for it.
Well, no question. We all are. And, by the way, it'll be on ESPN2. It'll be on the big screens right here at Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. Our outpost every Tuesday, and we're in conversation with Assistant Athletic Director for Alumni Relations, Mark Deal. And we have lots coming up relative to homecoming and Rutgers. The Scarlet Knights will be in town a week from Saturday. We'll talk to Mark about that and have more football for you. And a little bit later, veteran men's and women's cross-country coach Ron Hilmer and one of his top runners, a redshirt sophomore out of Westfield, Indiana, Kyle Duvall, will be joining us. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone, along with our producer, Jim Ritter. Our sponsors tonight, including Yogi's Grill and Bar here at the corner of 10th and Indiana. We carry on our conversation with Assistant Athletic Director for Alumni Associations, IU, Mark Deal, talking football. And, boy, the Hoosiers come home, hopefully with that win number one in the Big Ten. And back with Rutgers coming in, but, my golly, I know the list of recipients you send out on your emails, and for good reasons. You have ties to many, many football teams that have come and gone, and a lot of them, the guys that played for the Cream and Crimson, Mark, are coming back. Big reunion, football alumni reunion next Saturday. I know you're looking forward to it.
Oh, absolutely. We have our annual football reunion for our alumni of all our football players that we invite back, and coaches and managers and anyone that has contributed to the program over the years. And we have it every year, and we've kind of settled into a date of homecoming because the guys seem to get a better response and have them come back to that. And they'll be on the field at halftime and be introduced as a group. Obviously, there's too many. Last year we had 400 guys come back, which was just a terrific number of guys being able to come back for the game. There's a mob of them down there.
Oh,
and it's really neat to see them all, from all different eras, from, all different coaches, from the, literally from the Bo McMillan era with George Taliaferro and those guys. And before him, God rest his soul, up until 2 years ago when he passed away, Harry Cherry would come over from Seymour at 96 years old and who played on Bo McMillan's first team, and all the way up to, guys that have played last year or in the last couple years. So it's great.
Well, and no question about that. The game, by the way, is at 3:30, so there'll be a lot going on. But within the realm of the alumni reunion going on, a very special, and I know it's very special because your father was the captain on this 1945 team, the last time Indiana won a outright Big Ten championship, and did it in unbeaten fashion. And it's been in the works for years, and now here they are, and some of them will be there.
Yes, we've got the 70th reunion of our 1945
70.
Team.
70, wow.
70 years. We're going to have on the 45-yard lines, we're going to have 45. Instead of just 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, we're going to have 45 on the four sides of the 45-yard line on each side on the east and west to honor that team.
That's great.
And I think in red. I think they're going to put it in red. I'm not sure.
Great
advocated
touch.
That. Yeah, really nice touch. I wish I'd thought of it. Wasn't me. I think actually Coach Wilson may have thought of it. But I think it's a neat touch. There are 10 living players from that team. Five of them will be here. It's going to be great. We're going to have Bo Peep, McMillan Bankert, who's Bo McMillan's daughter, who still lives here in town. She's going to be there representing her father. We have Bill Brown, who's going to represent the team MVP, Howard Brown. Bill's going to come down from Chicago to be there. My brother Mike is coming up from Florida to represent our dad,
right.
Mutt, the captain of the team. So it's going to be, and then, of course, obviously George Taliaferro, George, who lives here in town, and Bob Miller, who was his backup, who's from Park Ridge, Illinois, who's, I think Bob is 91, and he's coming down with his son, Bob Joseph from Gary, Indiana, who was a lineman on that team, coming in, Larry Napolitan, who was on, coming over from Youngstown, Ohio, John Gorkus. So it's a really good. Ben Ramondi is still alive, the captain, or the quarterback, excuse me, of that team. He's in Mattawan, New Jersey. He's not going to be able to make it. He went into the IU Hall of Fame last year.
Right.
We're going to have a dinner for them on Friday night in conjunction with the 50-year Iman. They're going to be a part of that 50-year Iman dinner. We're going to salute them at that dinner. It's just going to be a neat, neat thing. You know, it'll be very emotional for me, obviously, because I grew up with that team. Howard Brown was my dad's best friend. And Ted Kluszewski, when the Reds would come in, when he was the batting coach of the Reds, or the Big Red Machine, when they'd come in to play the Cubs, Ted would come down and see my dad. So I grew up seeing Clu. My dad went to the 59 World Series when Clu, you know, hit the home runs. And
they played the Dodgers.
You know, when they played the Dodgers for my White Sox back when we were in a World Series. So Bob Ravensburg, you know, George Talaferro's known me literally since I've been born. It just goes on and on and on. Joe Sawinski was from East Chicago, from up in Northwest Indiana. It just goes on and
well,
on.
Well, and that's great. And George Talaferro is going to be the youngest. And George is no spring chicken. He doesn't look 88. But, my golly, you've rattled some names off that will be here. And, I mean, they're all vertical and healthy. And that's just a tribute to, all that they did when they were 19 and 20 years old, and how they upheld the tradition of Indiana U football throughout the decades.
They're going to be introduced on the field. I've talked to Mark Skirvin. I'm not sure when, but I think it's going to be fairly early in the game. Might be between the first and second quarter. So it's going to be when people are there and going to see them and give this team the honor that they deserve. It's the greatest team in IU history. It's a team that, you know, you talk about different things. They had four shutouts on the year in another game against Tulsa where they only gave up a safety, so they didn't give it up defensively. And, of course, they played both ways during that time. But the last five games of the season, IU gave up 6 points on defense. The entire – gave one touchdown.
Yeah.
The last five games of the season, last three games were all shutouts against Minnesota, who was ranked 19th in the country, Pitt, who was not ranked but a very good team, and then Purdue, who was ranked in the top 10 that we beat for the Big Ten Championship.
Well, it truly will be festive, no question about it. Rutgers will be the opponent, 3:30 a week from Saturday. That's the 17th, so put that one down. Hey, by the way, you were talking about that new little inscription that Coach Wilson thought of and is going to be printed in the out at the Rock at the 45-yard line, honoring this team. Tell us about that, and we're seeing some of these historical markers in and around the campus area and a story evolving there of interest.
Yeah, really neat. I'm on the board of the I Association. I happen to be the vice president of our I Association, which is our Letterman's Club and our Letterman's Association. And this is like 3 years in the making, and through the office of Tom Morrison, our vice president for the university, and Mia Williams in the architect's office, and through our I Association, we donated a historical markers, and there was precedent for this. Tom Ballard, back in 1980, when Tom, the great Tom Ballard, was the president of the I Association, there's a historical marker where Jordan Field is, which is now the Union Building parking lot. Well, Jordan Field was a football field, baseball field in the turn of the century, turn of the other century,
yeah.
18th to
way
19th
back.
Century. Yeah, 1800s and 1900s, till the 1920s, till the first Memorial Stadium was built and it used there. So there was a historical marker there. Well, we wanted to do something to recognize some of IU's historical places. Well, one of them was the original Assembly Hall. And there's a historical marker in this big, beautiful rock, limestone, and a plaque inside it, which is in the parking lot of Owen Hall, which is right behind the Union Building there. The Owen Hall is the oldest building on campus. It's one of the two red brick buildings that's not limestone on campus. And the original Assembly Hall, we played basketball there. It was our first basketball team played there in 1901. It was the birthplace of Hoosier Hysteria. The very first Indiana High School state basketball tournament was played there in 1911. The Crawfordsville Athenians won that. Every tournament was played there for seven years, actually, at that site, the original Assembly Hall. So there's a plaque there at the site of the original Assembly Hall. It's really cool, a bunch of flowers around it. If you're on campus in the old Crescent, it's right there. Well, then you go to the original Memorial Stadium, and I was jogging about three years ago through the campus, and I love to run that way. And there was nothing, and I went through there, and there's stuff that says Little 500, but there was nothing in what is now the Arboretum
right. That
said that there was a stadium there. Now, the stanchions where the ticket offices and the big stanchions where the end of the stadium, the flagpoles are there, but nothing else. So we did the same thing there.
Great.
At the original Memorial Stadium, which is the home of historically the very first Old Oaken Bucket game in 1925. We played football there from 1925 to 1959. It was the home track, as I look at Coach Helmer here, of the 1932 NCAA track championship Hoosiers of 1932. And it's the track where Milt Campbell ran. It's the track where Greg Bell ran. So that's all on that plaque, the historical significance of that site, where people can, when they walk across campus, they're right across the Arboretum. It's right there. It's really going to be a neat thing for people to see.
Well, there and well detailed. So that when you're coming in for homecoming, another thing you can go out and see for yourself, the history right there etched into the prettiest campus in all of the United States. You know, we didn't even touch on the Mal men coming back for the coach, but Bill Mallory, I want to do that on another show and bring you back and maybe even have the Mal man around. Who knows?
That'd be great.
It's his 80th birthday coming up. The date will be when Michigan comes in on November the 14th, and that's a whole story in itself. But I think we covered a lot pertaining to homecoming. We'll get to that. And I want you to come back, and like I say, maybe we can get the Mal man or a player or two that played for Bill during those great 13 years, six bowls in 9 years, and looking forward to that as well.
He's the best, as we all know.
And I tell you what, and another guy that's the best at what he does, and he coaches men and women's in cross country, and that is the veteran Ron Helmer. And we'll be back to talk to Ron and have Kyle Duvall on with us as well, a promising young man who's off to a great start this fall, the redshirt sophomore out of Westfield. When we come back, you're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. About 27 before the top of the hour, and joined in conversation with the veteran cross-country coach, men and women. Ron Helmer joins us along with one of his top student-athlete runners, a young man from Westfield, Indiana, a redshirt sophomore, Kyle Duvall, who led the Hoosiers out at Princeton last weekend in the interregional. And, well, I don't care what time of year it is. We always gear ourselves season-wise toward the Big Ten. But when you can go out early season, whether it's the Indiana Open, especially on the road, and bring some hardware back, that tells me the things, you got a smile on your face, so things are looking up, both men and women, so far, Ron.
Yeah, I like where we are. Our guys needed to run well, and they've kind of taken ownership of the process, and went into the competition was good. It wasn't incredibly difficult, but it was a challenging environment, poor weather. And they handled it really, really well and did a great job. And our girls, they're young. They're really young.
Uh-huh.
But didn't end up with the same result. But I think they probably grew just as much as a result of the experience. And I think we're going to see that in the weeks to come.
Well, no question. And, you know, I know expectations were high. You go back, what is this, 15, a couple of years ago, you did win the big prize, winning the Big Ten championship. Not a bad effort last year, 15th at the NCAAs, Ron. So I know expectations were high. And, you know, you look at your group here, and you've got some veteran names, and we got a young man that's blossoming that we're going to get to here in a second in Kyle Duvall. And it's great to see Carl Smith is back after that injury. And you didn't have him last year, so you got some good quality here.
You know what else is happening for the local people? Not just Carl, who went to Bloomington South.
Huntoon.
But Jordan Huntoon's coming along, and Mark is really coming. And
Mark Chandler.
Mark Chandler ran number six for us, half a second out of fifth, a couple seconds out of number four. So we've got some Bloomington kids really coming on, some Indiana kids coming on. But it's also great to know that we got the Australian kid running number two and the New York kid running number four and the Canadian kid running number five. So yeah, it's a nice mixture of kids.
Yeah, sure. You're talking about Rory Hunter. I love his accent. Obviously, he's from down under, and he just is getting better and better, and so is this young man. Kyle, welcome to the show. Obviously, you took home the prize last week out at Princeton, but we know you got class, so thanks for coming on. But what do you kind of like? Coach was just touching on this team. I mean, here you are, a redshirt sophomore. What do you like about this team so far as we get ready to wind through October?
Well, we keep things pretty simple. Racing is just all about following the red jersey in front of you. So we kind of race how we train. We work together. Just keep it relaxed and, I mean, keep things pretty easy. It helps you when the pressure's on and the high-level, high-anxiety environment, just knowing your teammates are around you. So.
Well, you know, you got a lot of quality. I mean, Matt Schwartzer, Jason Chris, Owen Skeet, and Coach was mentioning Rory Hunter. Here you have blossomed onto the scene, and it's been the rule rather than the exception with Coach that he redshirts freshman, and now you're a redshirt sophomore. Talk about how that enhanced things for you, how your maturity level grew, being redshirted your freshman year, and here you are, one of the top runners this fall.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a completely different person than I was 2 years ago. Your redshirt year definitely helps you out, being able to mature. Whole new training environment coming in your first year at college. So, you know, it's a new life living by yourself. So now, 2-3 years later, here I am, just being able to run with the big boys now and, you know, just working together. So.
Well, and you go out east, you go to Princeton, and Princeton has a nice team. And, you know, five Hoosiers, we talk about the flexibility, placed in the top 15. Talk about the race itself, how things unfolded. And I'm not going to ask you and sit and ask you if you surprised yourself, but, you know, winning's winning.
Yeah, day before we went out, and we knew it was going to be kind of crappy weather for the most part. It was pouring all day. But they took care of the course really well by Saturday morning. We were ready to go. We just want to have some fun with it. It was just one of those races where you just kind of grind it out, poor weather, high winds. And, we just kind of took control of it from the front and just kind of relaxed. And Jason and I made a move with about 3K to go, kind of stretched everything out and we're just fortunate to be in the right position.
Well, and again, and two, so much is left here with upcoming the Adidas Invitational, but the Big Ten Championships will be up in Evanston, the Hoosier Invite here, and then on to the Great Lakes Regional in Madison, Wisconsin, and this year, the NCAA Championships, huh, Ron, down in Louisville, huh?
Yep.
So they a little, was it there last year?
No, 2 years ago we were in Louisville. Seems like it's either Louisville or
Terre Haute.
Or Terre Haute, yep.
Well, getting back to Kyle and Kyle Duvall and veteran coach Ron Helmer joining us for a little cross-country conversation. Give me a prospectus now. You got the victory. You're on the upswing. How do you raise the bar or continue? What's your training pattern between now and the end of the fall getting ready, you know, for the Big Tens? And we'll take that one first.
Yeah, just continue to get sharp, really. This past weekend was a big springboard for us, get us a lot of momentum. Going in next weekend, we're going to have, I think, like 25 of the 31 teams ranked in the country in the same meet. So it's going to be a very deep field, but momentum's going to be huge here this next weekend, and hopefully we can build on it going into the Big Ten.
Where are you, my young man that grew up in Hamilton County at Westfield? Tell us a little about how you got involved. Has this been a passion of yours dating back to when you were a little tight? You always loved to get out and run?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have too much of a special story. It's just kind of started out in gym class and a little fitness test, so decided to go out junior high cross country and found out I loved it. So,
Ron, how good was he in high school? I mean, obviously you recruited him and brought him in and redshirted him his freshman year.
He was good enough. you know, he was All-State in cross country. He was All-State on the track. Yeah. You know, not maybe the kid that was all the way at the front, but certainly somebody that was already always there. And that's the way we recruit. We want kids that are good enough. And not everybody's going to be the best guy out there, and we don't expect that. But what we found out over the years is back in the pack of those solid kids are people who have the ability, if challenged appropriately and put in the right environment, to become really, really good. And every time that happens, we get very excited for those athletes because they start doing things that they maybe didn't have a chance to experience when they're in high school, and beating people that they couldn't beat in high school. And it kind of validates the work that they do and the commitment that they make, because you don't go from being pretty good in high school to being really good at this level without it being a really difficult and challenging process.
And you know, Kyle, I know you know some of these guys, and perhaps you competed against them, because it literally we're called the Hoosiers. We're looking at a roster here on the men's side. 14 guys, including yourself, went to Hoosier High School. So, you know, the camaraderie or the expectation of going to the next level from high school to college was something I know you look forward to, having competed against a lot of these guys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Cross country is a huge culture in Indiana high schools. So being able to come to college and compete or be teammates with the guys you competed with, it really means a lot, being able to represent Indiana, not as just as a university, but as a state as well.
Well, I know you got class, but how's school going? Have you decided on a major?
Yeah, sport marketing and management.
All right. Yeah. With what kind of designs, as you look in your genie, your little crystal ball, what's it tell you? What's the perfect scenario for you after you graduate?
Well, my dream job would be able to work in a sports franchise. Okay. Having the amateur sports capital of the world just an hour up the road opens up a lot of great opportunities. Love to be a sports agent, athletic director, work in front office, you know, anything like that.
So. Well, and if you're good enough, you could be a future Big Ten champion and All-American, and that opens up some more doors for you, competing at Indiana University, coached by this guy,
Absolutely.
Ron Helmer. And, you know, that's the thing about running. They say this about golf. You can play when you're 80. You can run anytime, and you're up the road from the amateur capital of the world, so you got all kinds of things to look forward to.
Absolutely.
Well, Kyle, we wish you the rest of the fall. We'll be talking to you a little bit later, but off to class you go. And thanks for stopping in and being part of the show tonight.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Kyle Duvall joining us, and well, you know, it's just another in a long line of student athletes, men, women, that I've gotten to know you very, very well through the years, Ron, and you bring in, and as we say, sprinkled this entire team. Yes, you have some of the foreign kids that have been awfully good to you. Let's talk a little about the breakdown of the rest of the squad. I mentioned some of the names. Kyle was talking about Jason Crist, and I can remember, I think he won the state championship when he was at Franklin Central. Owen Skeet, Matt Schwartzer, Rory Hunter. So,
you know, Rory's the guy who is probably has a great chance to make a really big name for himself this year. He's in his last year. Had a really good year on the track a year ago, but he's become a pretty good cross-country runner, a really good cross-country runner. And I think he'll springboard himself to some serious, serious big-time sub-4-minute, mid-350 type miles once we go indoors and go outdoors. He's that kind of a kid. So and he's starting to walk like that guy and act like that guy and talk like that guy. And when that happens during cross country season for a guy who likes the track better, then we know really good things are coming. Owen is in his fifth year, a New York kid He's been around. He's been in a couple of national championships with us on a cross-country team. But this year, just really starting to blossom. We're trying to not use Matt Schwarzer this year.
Okay.
He's one guy we did not redshirt as a freshman, and I felt really bad about that because while he looked like he was going to help us as a freshman, by the time he got to the end, he couldn't do what he wanted to do, and we probably wasted a season. I wanted to give him a chance to come back as a 22-year-old and be really, really good. So we're trying hard to redshirt him, which has forced guys like Mark Chandler, who we just mentioned, to step up, Jeremy Kugler to step up, and those guys are doing that. So right now we have six guys this last weekend in a 10-second spread over a 24-plus-minute race, and that's really, really solid running. The question is, can Carl keep coming like he is? Can Josh Roach, who's been really good on the track as a steeplechaser, close the gap and become a part of that? And if we can have seven people running that deep, then we're not going to need Matt. And the fact that Matt's not there has opened up a hole that creates the need for somebody else to get it done. Oftentimes, people take that next step in development because the need to do so is there, the opportunity is there, and if somebody else is doing it, it never crosses their mind that maybe they should be the one maybe to do it because they don't have to. It's easy to feel like I'm doing everything I'm supposed to, but I don't have to, so let him take care of it. You take one of your, and Matt would be running number one for us right now, I suspect, given what it's looked like in workouts, and if that was the case, you take somebody like that out. Now somebody else, like Kyle, has responsibility of being number one, or Rory's going to take a shot at being number one, and Mark's and Jeremy and Owen are all fighting to be number five, and it's just going to make us a better team as we go forward. So, but development is what it's all about. Guys that were pretty good who become really, really good. You know, what we all know in athletics is ordinary people can do extraordinary things if they're willing to put the work in and commit to what needs to be done. And these guys, I've been really proud of the way they've embraced that process.
Well, I mean, your track record speaks for itself, bringing these young men and women along with the red shirt. And, boy, that's great. I wasn't aware of Schwarzer, but, boy, it sounds like, again, we talk about numbers and flexibility, depth, and talent. It looks like it's going to come to fruition.
And when we lose Rory next year, when we lose Owen next year, when we lose Josh next year, having a 22-year-old who's really ready to do it at a high level to plug back in is I think going to be good for everybody, because everybody's going to be excited because we're not going to miss a beat. In fact, we're going to be that much better as a result.
Over on the women's side, and you alluded to it, they're getting better, obviously. Amanda Benke is a junior now, but talk about the progress of the gals. She finished the 6K in 21 minutes plus the other day, leading the Hoosier scores. But again, we're looking at Brianna Johnson, some familiar names that have been around the block for you, Rod.
The older girls, Amanda, Brianna Johnson, Maddie Stenger, Chanley Mundy from Terre Haute North. Those four girls ran 1, 2, 3, 4 for us and have all had their ups and downs, but they really all starting to mature and doing a great, great job. But the exciting thing for us is we have a group of freshmen who are taking their turns at being in our top five as well. Haley Harris, actually, from Carmel High School, ran number one for us at the intercollegiates, did a great job as a freshman. Her twin sister, Kelsey, doing a great job as a freshman. Maggie Allen from Louisville, a state champion out of Kentucky, ran number three for us in the first meet, ran number five for us at this last meet as a freshman. So actually, the 12 girls that we traveled to Princeton, six of those 12 were either freshmen or redshirt freshmen. And so it's a really, really young group. Getting some really nice leadership from those individuals that you mentioned, those older girls.
Sure.
But these girls have matured quickly. They love to race. They've been really responsible about how they've accepted the training load, how they've accepted the lifestyle that a college athlete has to lead if they're going to commit to doing this at this level. They haven't missed a beat. They've been really impressive in that regard. And as a result, this women's team is going to just keep getting better and better and better, and I think probably sooner than later.
Well, and, you know, and we always talk about the local athletes, and, you know, it's a – Bloomington South well represented. Is Kyle Burks a redshirt freshman?
Kyle Burks is a redshirt freshman. One. He was, yeah, I missed him.
That's five.
Alex Wozniak is a redshirt freshman on the girls' side. So, yeah, we've got a nice group of Bloomington South kids.
So Alex Wozniak and Burks are sitting out. They're redshirting.
They set out last year. They're currently in their second year of school, but would be redshirt freshmen.
I got you.
Eligibility wise.
I got you. So, we get ready for the start of the Big Ten and we're what six days into October. You can blink twice, it'll be November.
Yep.
Talk a little about the calendar. What's ahead? Kyle was mentioning, this schedule isn't going to get any easier between now and the Big Tens, which will be up in Evanston the 1st of November.
Yeah, we typically race every other weekend. Because we do a lot of training this time of year, and we just don't need to over-race. But we do race, and we race hard every other weekend. Next weekend, not this one, but the next one coming, we're going to split our team. We're going to send some kids to the Adidas Invitational up at Wisconsin to run against some of the best teams in the country. But I'm going to send number 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 down to Louisville to run in the pre-national meet, which is also against great, great competition. And so instead of having five kids getting ready to be scorers, we've got 10 kids getting ready to be scorers that weekend, which is just going to hopefully create an opportunity for somebody else to step up. So we'll split our team, different group up in Wisconsin, different group down at pre-nats, and then come out of there and pick the nine people that will go to the Big Ten meet up at Northwestern 2 weeks after that. The Big Ten, as always, is a great, great cross-country conference. Right now, I think there's five women's teams ranked between 4 and 16 or something like that in the national rankings. And the men are, you got Michigan and Wisconsin that are both ranked in front of us. We're ranked 16th as of today. So, and then Michigan State right behind us. So, and Minnesota as well.
It's loaded, huh?
So, boom, boom, boom. You got 4 or 5 teams in the top 20 in the country on both sides. And it's real. It's not hoping. It's not wishing. It's real, high level stuff. And you can be, you can be a really good team. We've had a team that was 7th, 8th place in the national championships go to the Big Ten meet and be 3rd or 4th. And that's just the way it works. We have to prepare for that. Our egos have to stay in check so that we understand that you can get your egos bruised a little bit and get your feelings hurt and still have a chance to make a big, big splash on the national level. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to go take the best shot we can in the Big Ten meet against some high, high-level competition, and every once in a while we're going to get one of those. But it's not over with. The season's not over for us at that point in time because our history in the national meet has been pretty exceptional over the last 5 years, and we want to continue that string as well.
Talking, and I only say that because I had these kids sit in chairs, when they were prepping at Bloomington South High School, the Kyle Burks and Alex Wozniaks of the world. But getting back to those two, and this gives them, with splitting the squad, it keeps them active. It keeps them competitive. How competitive have the kids been? How Burks and Wozniak taken to things?
Alex has had some injury issues. We get her going and get going really, really well, and she's really into it, and then something will come along, and that's difficult, but she's going to work her way through that.
Okay.
That's all going to be good. Kyle's he's the loose cannon of the group. He's the guy that if we keep him pointed the right direction and he's working at an extraordinary high level, he's still just young, and so he gets tired, and then he feels good, and then he gets tired. But he's the guy that loves to compete. He just really loves to go out, and he doesn't worry about what he feels like. He doesn't worry about how fit he might be or how fit he's not. He just goes out and sticks his nose in and goes competing, and that is the kind of attitude that allows people to grow very, very quickly. And so I'm hoping that he's going to stick in there and be a part of that 9 or be a part of that 7 that gets to run at some high-level meets at championship time this year, because that experience is going to be invaluable for him. But if not this year, then certainly as we go forward, he'll be a big part of it.
Well, always great talking to you, Ron, and we'll be back with you a little bit later when we get a little bit closer to the Big Tens and on to the NCAA championships, which, again, will be held right Thanksgiving week or close to it. This is the 21st of November, and Louisville will be the host of that. They hosted it 2 years ago, and that'll be the host in between the Madison, the Hoosier Invitational, which is what, in early November?
First week, first Friday in November, and that's the one that we run with some of our developmental kids, some of the downline kids, those kids that need a season culminating meet who won't be moving on to the NCAA part of the our championship.
Gotcha.
So we've got people that come in, and we have a really nice meet there, and then on to the big ones.
Onward and upward, and you smile on your face, and for good reason, as cross-country teams are talented, outstanding student athletes, and ready to make some noise here as we move through the rest of the fall 2015. We'll talk to you later. Thanks for coming in, my friend.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Ron Helmer joining us, and we'll close things out. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Well, wrapping things up, thanks to Ron Helmer and Kyle Duvall and our man Mark Deal. Oh, those! Hey, be sure you get out and see those historical markers, will you, that Mark outlined. If you didn't catch it, we'll have it up on the website under Sports Talk. Hey, Terry Stoltz joins Dave tomorrow in the zone in your phone calls. Don't forget soccer and volleyball. The Monon Spike up for grabs at UGym. Best of luck to Sherry Dunbar, Cruzan's Hoosiers, and Purdue at 7 o'clock. IUPUI men's soccer, 7:30 out on the Yeagley pitch. Andrew Luck will play Thursday night. Colts action, 7:25 pregame. South, Columbus North. Battling for Conference Indiana football, Chalk Talk Mo at 6:30. John Callahan, Dave Novak will have the action. Our employee of the week out of shortstop, Nick Lathrop, doing a great job. Until next week, that's the story. You've been listening to Sports Talk. News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 WGCL. Good evening, everybody, from Yogi's.